League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, Magaroo. Hey, you want to hear a joke?
Magaroni.
Thought we'd go to some of the older nicknames.
Okay. What's the joke?
I thought we'd start with a joke to cheer you up. What do you call a factory that makes just okay products?
What?
A satisfactory. Good? You like that?
It's 10 times more funny to me because you were cracking yourself up reading this joke before you read it to me.
Oh, I have a whole list of them right here. If you get like bored during this podcast at any point and you're like, Dad, tell me a joke, I have a whole printout of dad jokes. Hey,
okay, well,
your dogs are totally brilliant, by the way. I was asking Simon, what is 2 minus 2? And he said nothing.
That was really good. I feel, since like on the podcast you can't see my face, I am reacting in the silence. I'm just silent with the reacting. But no, those are good.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the reactions. I think we should just probably get started, don't you?
I agree with that statement. Let's play the intro music.
Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos.
So what's up with your car?
My car, Samson, the Prius, is currently in the shop because I was driving home the other day. I don't even remember where I was driving home from, but I called you and Mom because I was driving, just singing some songs or whatever you do while driving. And then I looked back at my dashboard and like 4 emergency lights were on. Like the emergency brake light was on, the ABS light was on, mm-hmm. and like 2 other lights were on. And so I called you guys, and my brakes were acting a little funky. And so I called you guys and was like, hey, what does all this mean? Am I cool? I'm like 15 minutes from home. And so I kind of just prayed and kept driving and got home.
Were you driving when you called us, or did you pull over to call us?
No, I was driving when I called you guys.
Okay, maybe next time pull over first and then call us.
Well,
you didn't know what was going on with your car, right?
Yeah, but I didn't want to stop and then my car not start and maybe on the freeway.
That. Were you on the 405 or the 110 or one of those other streets, those big highways out there?
I was on one of those. I think I was on the 110.
Yeah, that's one of those things in LA. They say the before the number of the highway.
It's LA. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is, totally.
No, I was literally talking to someone like yesterday or 2 days ago. I don't know. At some point, and we were listening to one of Willow's songs. I don't know if you know who Willow is. Willow Smith.
I do.
Anyways. Oh, cool. She has a song and one of the lines in it is like, maybe we can hit the 405. I was like, it's so cool being able to sing songs and like get California references.
I love it. So let's back to your car. So is it okay? You took it to the shop. You had to wait till Monday to get it to a mechanic. And it's fine now?
I don't know. He's still in the shop. They were so nice when I pulled up. They like took really good care. Were so sweet in how they talked to me. Ordered me a ride home, because apparently that's something they do, like a free ride home. And she was like, yeah, and our standard is we'll issue a loaner car until yours is done. I was like, oh, that's great. She's like, you're over 21, right? I was like, oh.
Oh,
funny enough,
so close, but yet so far. Yeah,
I know. And so I'm currently just kind of stuck at home.
What's the issue? Like new brake pads or something? Or is it more serious?
Okay, this is actually kind of funny. I don't know, because when she called me yesterday to give me the full diagnostics, the call woke me up from a nap. And so the whole conversation, I didn't really process because I was still partially asleep trying to sound awake. But the only thing I really caught was they have to order new parts and it should be ready on Thursday.
Is that going to cost you a lot of money though?
No, it's covered in like a Toyota recall or something. I don't know.
Well, that's good.
But Yeah, I want a new car. I want to buy a new car.
Things to watch out for. So just in general, Maggie, how's your oil change? Have you done that lately?
No, because we already did it.
We did it before you drove to California, which is like 3,000 miles. And so you're probably getting close again. Check the air pressure in your tires, kids. That's really important, not only for the drive that you have, but how well your tires will wear. Really improves the length of your tires. If you will keep them inflated, and windshield wipers or Rain-X. I like Rain-X better because, you know, I'm kind of afraid of windshield wipers, as we established in a recent TikTok. But no, I love a good Rain-X coat that'll keep the rain off your windshield during the rainstorms, which you get so often in LA.
Oh my gosh, all the time.
So, but you've been really busy. I know you've been taking care of a lot of details and kind of overloaded in life.
Yep. Yeah, school is crazy, work's crazy, preparing for parents to come stay with you is crazy.
I can't wait.
Oh my goodness. I can't pick you up because of my car.
Oh, that's true. Well, maybe by the time I get there in 2 days, you'll have your car back. We'll keep track.
2 days? Wait, what day are you coming?
I'm coming in 2 days. Mom's coming the next day.
I thought you were coming tomorrow.
No, I have to go to Memphis to do a speech first. I get to go to Memphis to do a speech first.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, then maybe I will have my car ready and I can pick you up and I can like do a little sign or something.
Bonus.
Probably not. I shouldn't have said that because now you're going to expect it. I'm probably not going to do it. But it's okay.
So you've been so busy you couldn't even go grocery shopping, right?
Yeah, no, I have been crazy, crazy busy. I cannot leave my house at the moment. So the only food I have in the house at the moment is HelloFresh, which is good because they're amazing and also one of our sponsors for our show today.
Absolutely. And, you know, fall is busy. HelloFresh recipes help you save time that you'd otherwise spend meal planning, shopping, and chopping so you could get back to doing what really matters in your life as well. And HelloFresh offers 50 menu and market items to choose from every week, from vegetarian meals and calorie-smart choices to extra special gourmet options. There's something for everyone to enjoy with recipes designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Both deliciousness and simplicity. Do you have a favorite recipe so far, Maggie?
My favorite so far was a Mediterranean chickpea couscous. It was so good and it was kind of like the bowl. Oh, really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, it was so easy to like, since I live by myself, it's a lot of food, but I could have leftovers. And it was really, really good.
And the leftovers keep really well with that particular dish. I've noticed that it was just as good the second day, even better, maybe. So go to HelloFresh.com/14chaos and use that code 14chaos to get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping.
That's HelloFresh.com/14chaos and use code 14chaos for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping.
And you too can enjoy America's number one meal kit. So you enjoy cooking, Maggie?
I do to an extent. I will say that since I've been out here, I don't know why, but I've never used a timer when cooking. Like when I bake things in the oven, I never use a timer. I just kind of look at the clock and then go do something else. And usually it works out okay, but I have absolutely burnt things to a crisp before. I don't know.
I mean, It's so easy, too. All you have to do is talk to your phone or talk to your watch.
I'm used to at home knowing how to use the timer on the oven, so I just do it right then and there. And out here, the oven's different. So, again, though, you're totally right. Like, I do have a phone.
Yeah, and cooking is an experiment. Like, some things are going to work, some things are not going to work. I know for me, I've always been fascinated by cooking. When I was a kid, I made fried bologna sandwiches with onions.
Ew.
And I would take Ritz crackers and put cheese on them and put them in our toaster oven and get those crispy. And like, I would just try all this weird stuff. But fried bologna sandwiches are actually pretty good. What's not good, however, one time when your mom and I were newly married, I decided to cook her a really fancy breakfast and make some omelets. And I guess I'd recently heard about like a salmon omelet. Like
that
salmon and eggs,
sound
that
terrible.
Kind of thing. It doesn't sound terrible at all. And I thought, well, we don't have salmon, but we have tuna fish. And we had these cans of tuna fish. And I just decided to make a tuna fish omelet.
That's terrible.
And like, how bad could it be? You put some onions in it. You put some cheese in it. And I had it folded over so beautifully. It was golden brown. And I cut it in half. And the cheese oozed out. And I served it to Mom. And we both took the first bite. And we almost vomited.
We spit it out.
It
That's
was so,
so
awful.
Gross.
Tuna and eggs. Ugh. Tuna and eggs, remarkably different than salmon and eggs, unfortunately.
That's tough.
You want another joke, Maggie?
Oh, my goodness. Do I?
What does a sprinter eat before a race? Nothing.
What?
They fast.
It's really good. I'm fasting at the moment, so I appreciate that. Maybe that's why I've been so down lately, is because I'm fasting. That's tough.
So speaking of cars, we had a road trip up to Virginia to go see Eddie's band play at the Blue Ridge Rock Festival. That was really amazing and a crazy experience. We were only there for that little window of time where their band performed. But it was kind of crazy. 170,000 people at this event. I was never at Woodstock, but I kind of... That came to mind. This must have been a little bit like what it was like, except we didn't get rain, thankfully. But just an amazing amount of people, very hard to get in and get out with the parking and whatnot. But I was so proud of your brother. Their band did fantastic, and they've been working really, really hard for that moment.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the goals, and I did a video on this, but the goal itself was to be at that festival and to play because they were on the biggest stage with all these other major bands that Eddie grew up with and loves. Yet it's like the preparing for the goal, the things you do to get ready for the goal. That's like the real celebration and bonus is they worked so hard for that. They practiced not just their music, but getting on and off the stage and did all these other smaller shows and worked through every technical problem that they could anticipate. They were so prepped for it. Do you have any big goals in your life right now?
Of course. Always. Dream big.
What are they? Just give me one or two.
Acting, booking a feature film out here. I've never done a feature film. I've done short films. I've done small independent things, but I want to book a feature film. And I want my car fixed. I want my car back. I'm sorry. That's the only thing in my mind right now.
So
I'm really sad.
Short-term goals and other short-term goals. Cause you're going to get that feature film like Friday.
Oh,
get the car on Thursday, the feature film on Friday. You're good to go.
Amazing.
So in the meantime, you're in acting classes and you're working really hard. You're doing auditions. You're talking to your agent and you're doing the things that are necessary to get you there. I love it. Mm-hmm. So speaking of things that are necessary, we've gotten so many questions from our listeners, and this episode we're going to address a lot of those questions, and I think you have one to start us off, don't you?
I do. Question one is from Anna Callahan, and she said, "Hi, I just finished episode 9 and decided to ask a question. My question is, who was your first crush / awkward middle school boyfriend / girlfriend? Do you want to start?"
Oh, man. Well, thank you, Anna, for the question, and... you've got some catching up to do because this is episode 12. So hopefully by now you're caught up to hear our answer to your question. You want me to start? Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. The immediate person that came to mind was I was probably 11 years old, Eileen Block. And so in my grammar school, and I get
we're given full names.
I can use her name now because it has been so long. I don't even know what happened to her, but at that time, she was everything. This girl was so beautiful and just sweet personality, and I was completely taken by her spirit. And one summer, I got to call her and know her, and we'd go do things. We'd ride bikes. I remember this day. It was out of a movie. It was such the perfect day. And we're riding our bikes. We stopped at a little convenience store. I bought her some candy. And I'm thinking, I'm doing all the right things to that my character would do in this movie, right? And then we went back to her house. We were in the basement. We're talking and playing a game or something. And there was a ring. There was a doorbell that went off. And so she got up to leave and go answer the door. She came back a few minutes later and she said to me, Maggie, she said, "Oh, that was my boyfriend at the door. But don't worry. I told him you're just a friend of mine. You're just over visiting. So it's okay." And I was crushed. I was devastated because
oh, no.
Yeah, I thought I was that guy. I thought I was at least earning that position, and apparently it was already taken.
That's so sad.
It was very sad.
Oh my goodness.
Very awkward too. It's okay. I never recovered. 11? I never recovered from that as far as Eileen goes. We're never the same again.
You still think about it? Wow.
Yeah, I do. Go ahead. What's yours?
I have two that I think of. Like, the first crush I can remember was a guy named Hector. And it was like young. And the only thing I really remember about it, maybe I pushed it out of my mind because it was too painful, was that he didn't like me back.
I remember hearing about Hector.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I have pictures of him on my Nintendo DSi that, like, I guess I took to school one day in third grade or something. And, like, I have selfies with friends, and it's so funny. They're so cute. I'm so glad I have those memories. Because that's wild. None of us had phones or anything because this was like 2000.
So your Nintendo was a camera?
Yeah, it had a little camera.
Never knew that.
Because it was the Nintendo DSi. It was like the
deluxe,
the cool one of that time. And I still play it on road trips. And I'm not ashamed of it at all. But getting back to the topic.
Yeah, number two.
The first like middle school boyfriend. Should I say names right now?
I don't care. It's a little more recent for you, so you be the judge. Use your discretion.
I'll use a first name. So there was this kid named Crawford. He was the talk of our household in middle school, big time. But I remember we decided to start dating in middle school, or I guess it was like fifth grade. And we decided over text, this was me and my slide phone, and it was while we were on a family vacation to Florida. We were like at Tony Steele's or something. Like we were staying there. And over that trip, we just texted and decided like, oh yeah, let's be boyfriend and girlfriend. And over that trip, I got food poisoning. And I was like throwing up in the bathroom, feeling terrible. That's and I just awful. Kept
I'm not laughing
texts.
At your food poisoning. I'm laughing because I remember funny. How this story turns out.
Yeah. He kept texting me. He was like, you're so strong, baby. Like, you can get through this. Like a fifth grader. Oh, my gosh. I'm like putting him on blast a little bit here. But it was so funny. And I started to freak out. And ultimately, I was like, this is not good. This is moving too fast. Even fifth grade me was afraid of commitment. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up texting him. And I was like, I think this is just too much. We need to be friends.
Yep.
And so it was a very short trip and a very short relationship of us being in two separate states the entire time.
Exactly.
It was still not
all over
distance.
Text. You became a boyfriend, girlfriend, and then had the whole arc of the relationship. And that's actually been a pattern a little bit. Not to call you out, but like you're getting too close. Let me push you away. Has been a common theme throughout your dating life.
Thanks, Dad.
Mom raised her hand. She said you inherited it from her.
Oh, sick. Thanks, Mom.
I think we covered a lot of ground there. That'll be interesting.
We said a lot of things we shouldn't have said.
Probably
there.
Not. You're gonna be getting some texts from your friends after this episode comes out. Let's change the subject. You want a different question?
I would love a different question.
Okay. I'm going to go in a different direction. How about this? This is from Callie, who asks, let's say you have a month to accomplish a task and you know it will take you only a week. How do you stay motivated to work hard and complete the task when you feel you can slack off due to the excess amount of time that you have to complete it? Good question, Callie. You know that feeling? It's like, I've got a lot of time. I know this project's going to take a while, but I've got plenty of time. So how do you kind of apportion your time and energy?
I don't think I'm the best example for this because if I have a lot of time, usually I will not do it immediately. So do you want to take this one?
Well, my answer...
I'm working on it.
My answer would be that... like Maggie, there's a right way to do it. There's like the textbook answer of how you should do it. And then there's the real life answer of how, like, more often it feels.
It gets done, yeah.
Because there's something about the urgency and the pressure of a moment and a deadline that really does drive focus and it drives action. So you can anticipate a couple things. Get started on as much as you can now. Think of it like a wave, like a big wave that's coming, and then ultimately it's going to break at the end and it'll be over, right? And so at that point when it's all over, when you've reached that deadline, you're going to be done with the project because you're the kind of person who finishes projects and turns them in on time. You're either going to be super pleased and super satisfied with the work you did, or you're going to be feeling like, oh, I could have done so much more. Like, this could have been so much better. And so decide kind of in advance, I want to have that feeling that I'm super satisfied. Yeah. So that's going to put you in the mindset in the early portion to really do some of the groundwork and kind of think about the aspects of this project, the way you want to approach it. I don't know exactly what it is, but to organize things, to start some preliminary work, to put yourself in the right slot where you're ready to go. And then when that urgency kind of kicks in and drives your focus, then you'll be ready to go. And the other thing I'd say is, when you feel that moment of inspiration anytime in the project, like if it's early or late, whatever, that's the time to jump in it. If you ever get that creative inspiration of like, this seems easy if I just write it right now, well, then that's the time you're supposed to write it. Because at that moment, you think, well, I could just get back to this same state of mind and it'll be easy then too. But quite often it's not. So go. I've learned that the hard way, that when you feel the creative inspiration, you got to go for
it. Does that resonate with you, Max? Like the main thing that helps me is like split it up. Don't look at a big project as like one thing. Split it up into parts so you can kind of look at it that way and you can get it done step by step. That usually helps me a lot.
Cool.
This question is from Griffin, and he asked, what is your favorite part about being a motivational speaker / TikTok influencer? You know, now that I read that, I don't know if it's actually just specifically directed at you.
Well, no, but you're the TikTok influencer, so are you. So I think you should answer that
You technically are. You are,
Not though, really. I'm not getting brand deals and endorsements and 5 million followers.
Brand deals and endorsements.
No. It's all about you, kiddo. That's why I'm just Maggie's dad, goodness. 1, 2, 3. I'm comfortable in your shadow as far as TikTok is concerned. So what's your favorite part of being a TikTok influencer?
Two main parts. Number one is genuinely the impact that you can have on people. Like, I had people who I watched growing up who were my go-to people when I was feeling sad. And I knew, like, I could just watch one of their YouTube videos or whatever, and I was going to smile. Like, I was going to, for that amount of time, just feel better. And to have people tell me that, like, that's what our accounts do for them, like, that, it's really hard to top that feeling. Like, that is just so cool. And I love being able to contribute that. And then I'd say my other favorite part is, like, just the ride it's taken me on. Like, the connections and the people I've gotten to meet. And, like, new communities. I mean, I'm in L.A. because of it. And, like, that's just crazy. It's been such a cool ride.
It's been great for us to watch you. And you're just getting started, too. So, I mean, but we think that, right? But you never know how long it could last or anything can happen. And so I think it's important when you feel that ride, it's like, let's go with it and see where it takes you. Well, my favorite part about being a professional speaker, there are several different things that came to mind. The first is, I love that all these different companies and industries and different people from all over the world hire me. They bring me into their organization and they teach me about what they do. And they really take me into their mindsets and goals and their company history or mission and their values or whatever it is. And I learn about something that I could have otherwise I would have not known about at all. Like the concrete, like, Association of America or some high-level technology company or, you know, it just doesn't matter. Like every spectrum, healthcare, financial, whatever. And so I've learned a lot in the journey. I love the travel. I love the opportunity to go different places and be a part of something big, like a big conference. But to me, the part that's always like just amazed me, and this goes back when I was just a kid performing, like doing juggling shows and doing unicycling, and people would hire me to come in and I'm like their featured entertainment at their after dinner event or whatever. And I get up on stage and I've got 30 minutes or an hour or whatever it is. and I do my thing, but nobody knows what my thing is. Like, they all trust me so completely that you literally, nobody bothers you or hassles you. And then you get to that moment and you deliver your thing. But it's just always felt like this incredibly empowered feeling and freedom of I get to express myself and do what I love. And it will be like valued and judged based on how it comes out. But it's done, it's, you know, I'm a big fan of freedoms of doing what you love and following your passions everywhere you go. So that's it for me.
Awesome. That was a good question.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. This is a good question too. And also a good compliment. This is from Adam. And it may sound a little self-indulgent, but I just want to read this because it really did touch my heart. And by the way, everyone, the comments that you leave, the questions you leave on wholesomechaos.com, we read all of them. We're trying to cover as many as we can or condense them into topics for the future. But the response has been amazing. And this show, we want it to be driven by the needs and desires of our audience. So please go out there and submit your questions. And there's a lot of great things to check out on the website as well. In fact, a new downloadable resource for you called Connecting Through Chaos. You can have that for free. You can share it within your family. There's also a link to actually join our family and tell us a little bit about yourself. So please check out wholesomechaos.com. So Adam says, firstly, I'd like to express how motivational you both are. I've learned new skills and adapted a better mindset by listening to you both. You've inspired me to improve relationships with family and friends, and most importantly, live life to the fullest. So thank you. My question is, my faith has recently been faltering. I go to church and procrastinate about whether I'm good enough of a person to label myself as Christian. I'm by no means a bad person, but I feel like the expectations of my faith are sometimes difficult to live up to. Have either of you ever had a moment where you struggled with your faith? And if you don't mind sharing, how did you overcome it? So that's a big question. And possibly we could do more about faith in another episode to go deeper down that important topic, but what would you say to Adam?
Yeah, Maggie? I mean, of course we're human. Like, I'm a Christian, and like my faith has definitely faltered at times. I was at a house church the other day, and they were talking about lukewarm Christians. And if like you grew up in the church, you kind of know that term where it's like you're a Christian, but you're not like on fire for God or anything. And in my head, I was like, oh, no, I'm not a lukewarm Christian. And then they read off this list of 7 things lukewarm Christians do. And it was, you kind of hear some of the things and you're like, oh, wait a second. Like one of them was like a lukewarm Christian doesn't desire to be saved from their sin, only the punishment of their sin. And literally when he read that out, the whole room, we were like, wait a second. Like, it's the expectation as a Christian, like the absolute thing that you want to do is be like Jesus, and you're going to fall short. But that's why there's grace, and that's why there is the gospel and like things to guide you in that direction. And at the end of the day, like when it comes to being a good enough person, like God knows your heart. And as long as you are like trying to spend time with him and improve your relationship with him, like I think that is the biggest thing. Spending time in his word daily, like just doing things to grow in your relationship at the end of the day are going to help you. And I think I was reading, I think it was Psalms at some point, and it was maybe Peter, I don't know, Peter or David or someone, I should definitely know that, but they were talking about, it was them essentially crying out to God, saying like, God, how long until you come near to me again? Like, how long are you going to stay distant from me? And it just goes to show that even these people who were radical in their faith and so close to God and doing these incredible things at times felt distant from God. Like, everything is not always sunshine and rainbows. Like, there's spiritual warfare. There's all that type of stuff. And that has an impact on your daily life. And so, yeah, just spending time with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're feeling the struggle, that's probably a good indication you're on the right path because you're holding yourself to a higher standard. I love what you said, Max, about God knows your heart, right? And I think God also speaks to your heart And I would say often there are times where I don't feel I am a good Christian, but I do feel like still I'm connected to God, right? Like I remember when I was a kid, there was this moment, and I'm so grateful for this moment. I was in Chicago growing up, climbing the chestnut tree in front of my house. I was in the tree, and I just had this knowing. And it wasn't a faith moment, like a belief moment. It was a knowing, like it was imprinted in my heart and my mind. Like, you're not, there's something so much bigger than this life. This isn't all there is. In fact, kind of like the world that we're in now is illusionary. It's like a test of some kind, or it's like a transient experience to get to something greater. And it was just a glimpse of that whole concept. And I don't know how even it came in, but I'll never forget it. And for me, since that moment, it just kind of opened my eyes to this, well, if none of this is effectively, you know, permanent or real, or this isn't the real deal, the end all be all, then I can take life a little less seriously, and I can look for something a little bit bigger in every situation that I find myself in. And that's led me to explore conversations about faith and meditation and learn from people who walk of different faiths as well as my own. And so I would just say, stay with that question. And absolutely, I'd say having a sense of conflict that you're not enough is definitely an indication that you're at least asking the right questions. Fair?
Yes, I believe that's fair. I wanted to tell you though, I almost adopted a dog.
Oh no.
It needed me. It needed someone. Okay, so I saw it on TikTok and it was a dog that was like at some sort of beach in a corner underneath a bench, and it was like spray painted, like it was scared, and it just came up to this guy and sat with this guy, and he brought it to a shelter in LA that I am not far from. And I was like, oh my goodness, is this my time to get a dog? Ultimately, I ended up reading the comments, and a lot of people in the comments were like, you know, saying that they'd love to adopt, and they're like, I have a fenced in yard and like two other dogs for it to play with and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, they have way better setups than me. I should let this go. But then I started looking through pictures of other dogs at the shelter, and I got so sad because they just need loving homes. But I'm gonna, like, the main thing that stopped me is thinking about the fact that, like, if you adopt a pet, you should be in it for the long haul. Like, you should keep that pet for their entire life. Not just, like, while they're young and fun and, like, stuff like that. But thinking along those lines, I was like, oh, crap. If I get a dog, at some point that dog's gonna die. And I don't know if I am emotionally strong enough to handle that, like, at the moment. And so that's genuinely what stopped me from getting a dog.
So this episode so far, we've talked about heartbreak as a young person. We've talked about God and our faith. We've talked about cars. We've talked about the death of our pets.
Yeah.
Like, this is a pretty wide-ranging episode, which leads me to believe it's exactly time for another dad
joke.
Right? So what did the ocean say to the beach?
It said nothing. It waved. Did I get it? Ha!
You got it.
Easy.
Good one.
Do you have another one? Do you want to try another one since I stole the joke?
Yeah. It's a big responsibility to have a dog. Now, I want to circle back to that. So I'm glad you didn't make that decision to adopt a pet, especially since you're renting from
people who own your home. They told me I could have a dog.
And that would be...
I know. Oh, no, the other day, she came down and she showed me like a feature on my door where I could open it a little bit. And she was like, yeah, so, you know, if you had a dog, like if you have a dog or something, it can just go in and out without you having to open or close the door. And in my head, I was like, wait a second. Did you just tell me to get a dog? Because I will.
Oh, my goodness. So another question, perhaps?
Sure.
Okay. What else can we get into here? How about mandatory service in the Singapore Army?
Yes, something we both
Hi, love from Singapore. This is from Sarah Rule. So here in Singapore, it's kind of mandatory to be in the army for like 2 years. It's something that I don't enjoy doing, so I'm just laying low to get past it. My question is, how do I keep my morale up when I'm stuck in a rut doing things I don't want to? So I remember learning about this when we were in Singapore, how every citizen has a mandatory 2-year stint in the army. And that's common in other countries as well. Sarah Rule, what would you like to say to him, Maggie?
I mean, obviously this is not something that we can relate to quite closely. But just in general, with when you're in obligations to do things that you don't want to, look for the little things that you find joy in that just, like, I don't want to say get you through it, because, like, mindset should be kind of more optimistic than that, I guess, ideally. But just look for the happy things and the things that, like, whether it's, like, a friend you make or something like that. Like, just try and reframe it, I guess, a little bit.
That's a good answer, Max. I was thinking that, you know, 2 years seems like a long time, but it goes by really fast. It seems longer, though, when you're focusing on how much you dislike that experience or, you know, just trying to get by. Just that mindset of saying, I'm just trying to get by it, is going to actually change the frame through which you see the whole experience as sort of a punishment that's put upon you. And while it may not be your desire and it's something you would have never, like, electively chose, it is an experience you're going to go through, and you have an opportunity now to make a choice in terms of how you view it. And again, project to the end of it and think, what's the story that you want to be able to tell when this is all over? Either you're going to say, yeah, I went through this horrible experience, they did all this stuff, or I was able to learn through this experience, or I took advantage of the opportunities that you're only going to get during this certain window of time. So for you and for anyone else out there who feels like you're in a situation not of your choosing, whether it's related to your family or your circumstances, maybe you're moving to a city and you don't want to move because you got friends back home or whatever it is, you get a chance to rewrite that story and to create something that's that could be potentially really fantastic. As long as you stay in that journey, as long as you stay along for the ride. So just some great... great questions today that really have spanned the whole world from different locations, but also a wide range of topics, Maggie. What else is on your mind before we begin to wrap this up?
Not much. I'm excited for you to come out here. I definitely need to clean up. Also, am I in charge for making plans, or is that something you've been doing?
Well, I don't have a connection to certain people I'd like to make plans with, so maybe we could talk about that later.
You don't want to make our entire golf itinerary and that kind of thing on our podcast?
Oh, no, you should just surprise me with an adventure. I'm not expecting much. I just want to see you and begin to, you know, hang out in your environment. It's going to be a blast to see what you've been up to the last couple months. Yeah. No, don't connect me to a realtor.
I can't promise. What if I have an entire day that is just us touring houses out here? That'd be so fun.
You know, we'd have fun with it. Like, we have a saying in our family, you got to be somewhere, right? And so that's kind of our own way of reframing wherever you happen to be, whether it's stuck on a plane that's not going anywhere or in a circumstance that you've never expected, or in a long line or in traffic waiting to go to the music festival. It's like, you got to be somewhere. And that's the thing, is if you can enjoy your own company and if you know how to amuse yourself and have a good time and think productive thoughts, really you can kind of get by just about anywhere doing just about anything.
Yeah.
Right? All right. So wholesomechaos.com. Yes. We want to help you through the chaos in your life and help you connect that chaos to the people you love and care about so that you're growing through it together. Because, you know, chaos is, it's not going to end. It's this concept that everything's random and unfinished and unpredictable, and that's life. And so if you're living your life thinking we just got to get to this certain next step where everything's going to make a lot more sense, you're missing life. Life is in the chaos, and it's the opportunities to connect to the people you love are in those moments as well. And so that's what we're trying to do with this show. And as you think about it and how it applies to your life, please subscribe and follow and perhaps some other things as well, right, Mads?
Tell your friends if you're enjoying this show, if you have someone who you think would enjoy this show, just send them a link, tell them about it. You guys are what is making all of this possible, and we really enjoy your feedback so much. So go to the website, leave us a question, talk to us in our social comments, whatever you want. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening.
Have a great week. Love you, Dad. I love you, Mags. We love you too.
Bye.
Take care, everybody.
You know what it is where I've like been down these past few days? You know what I think might be the culprit?
What?
I ran out of coffee about 3 years, not 3 years, 3 days ago, and I can't go to the store to get more.
Well, there you go, Maggie.
I know, I'm
that
in
explains
withdrawal
it.
Again.
That's why you have a headache, for one thing. You're in withdrawal. I've confronted some of my addictions in this lifetime, but coffee's not one of them.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.